जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा रामा हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kishor Kishori Jaya, Kishor Kishori Jaya, Kishor Kishori Jaya, Kishor Kishori. Jaya Jagatnatha, Jagatnatha. Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Parivajaka Acharya Shruta Shatya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga Narayanam Namaskritya Narachevam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiriyet Nashte Prayeshu Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Seveya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavi Neshtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So Canto 7, text number 5, chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies Lord Narasimha Dev with prayers. Text number 5. Swapada mule patitam tam arbhakam. Vilokya deva kripaya paripulata. Uttapaya chat chirshni adadat karambhayam Kalahi vit sarastadhyam kritabhayam Swapada mule patitam tam arbhakam Vilokya deva kripaya paripuluta Uttapyat chirshni adadhat karambhujam Kalahi vitrastadhyam kritabhyam स्वापदामूले पतितं तं अर्भकं विलोक्या देवा कृपाया परिपूलता उत्तापया तच तृष्णी अदाधत कराम्भुजम् काला ही वितरास्ता धियम कृता भयम्। स्वापदामूले पतितं अर्भकम् विलोक्या देवा कृपाया परिप्लुता उत्थाप्या तच्चिर्ष्णी अदाधत् कराम्भुजम् कला हि वितरस्तादियां कृताभयम्। स्वापदामूले पतितं अर्भकम् विलोक्या देवा कृपया परिप्लुता उत्थाप्या तच्चिर्ष्णी अदाधत् कराम्भुजम् कला हि वितरस्तादियं कृताभयम्। स्वापदामूले पतितं तं अर्भकम् विलोक्या देवा कृपया परिपूलता उत्थाप्या तच्चिर्ष्णी अदाधत् कराम्भुजम् काला हि वितरस्तादियं कृताभयम्। स्वापदामूले पतितं तं अर्भकम् विलोक्या देवा कृपया परिपूलता उत्थाप्या तच्चिर्ष्णी अदाधत् कराम्भुजम् कला हि वितरस्तादियं कृताभयम्। स्वापदामूले पतितं तं अर्भकम् विलोक्या देवा कृपया परिप्लुता उत्थाप्या तच्चिर्ष्णी अदाधत् कराम्भुजम् काला हि वितरस्तादियं कृतम्भयम्। स्वपदामूले एट हिज लोटस फीट पतितं फॉलन तं हिम प्रहलाद महाराज अर्भकम् ओनली अ लिटिल बॉय विलोकय सीइंग देवा लॉर्ड नरसिंहदेव कृपया आउट ऑफ हिज कॉजलेस मर्सी परिप्लुता वेरी मच एफ्लिक्टेड इन एक्सटेसी उत्थापया raising tat shirshni on his head adadhat placed karambujam his lotus hand kalahi of the deadly snake of time which can cause immediate death vidrasta afraid dhyam to all of those whose minds krita abhyam which causes fearlessness. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation: when Lord Narasimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head. Because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Purport. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, bhaya, and methuna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness. Sada samudivigna dhyam. And the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Narasimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Narasimhadev. Yato yato yami tato Narasimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Narasimhadev. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. Text number 6, I will read the translations and purport. By the touch of the Lord Narasimhadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love, and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text number 26, Mam chayo vyabhi charena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatityetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 32, the Lord says, Mam hi partha vyaparistriya ye api su papa yunaha. Striyo vaishyas tatha shudras te api yanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. On the strength of these verses from Bhagavad Gita, it is evident that although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family, and although virtually demoniac blood flowed within his body, he was cleansed of all the material bodily contamination because of his exalted position as a devotee. In other words, such impediments on the spiritual path could not stop him from progressing, for he was directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are physically and mentally contaminated by atheism cannot be situated on the transcendental platform. But as soon as one is freed from material contamination, he is immediately fit to be situated in devotional service. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatirubhasya Kripa Sindhu Vaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namunamaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we have been reading in this chapter about the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev, and when he appears through the pillar in his palace, the Lord Narasimhadev was very, very angry. And the first job which he accomplished as soon as he appeared was to take care of Hiranyakashipu. Now, normally we don't see many instances when the Lord is very angry. But here we see that not only that he is angry, but he is very, very angry. He is so angry that even the demigods are very, very reluctant to come close to him. So why was the Lord so angry? That is a question to ask, and we should try to understand that. So it is said that the Lord was very angry because a great devotee of the Lord was being harassed by Hiranyakashipu, and that was the cause of his anger. There are other instances when Lord had to kill many of his enemies, but there was never so much of anger. If we look at when the Lord killed Shishupal or Lord killed Kansa, he was there, he killed them laughingly. I mean, he didn't really was in such a furious mood as he was in this particular incident. So when a devotee of the Lord is harassed, then the Lord gets really very, very upset. And like we have heard in earlier instances, the Lord may forgive an offense which you commit unto him or at him, towards him. But if we commit an offense to a Vaishnava, then it's a very, very serious offense, and the Lord doesn't forgive that. Then only the Vaishnava to him, to whom the offense has been committed, he or she could only forgive. So we have to be extremely careful in our dealings with Vaishnavas, that we don't really offend them by our conduct or by our behavior or our actions. So in the previous verses, we saw that, or the previous chapter rather, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and several demigods, they were saying their prayers to pacify the Lord, but somehow the anger of the Lord was so intense that he was still very, very angry. So then the demigods requested Lakshmi Devi to pacify the Lord. And Lakshmi Devi, even though she is the internal consort of the Lord, she had also not seen this side of the Lord or this form of the Lord. So she was also really, she said her prayers, but she was also very, very, overwhelmed and awed by the Lord's form. So they requested Prahlad Maharaj to come forward, go towards Narsimhadev and offer his prayers and pacify him. So when the demigods, who are such exalted devotees, they were scared or they were afraid to come closer to the Lord, why or how come a five-year-old young boy went forward, prostrated at the lotus feet of the Lord, and calmed down the anger of Narsimhadev? So it is said that when a pure devotee of the Lord takes his shelter, the Lord will protect him, and Lord would not let any harm be done to him. So in this case, because Prahlad Maharaj had surrendered completely to the Lord, and he had taken the shelter of Narsimhadev Bhagwan, he was not scared, he was not afraid, because he knew that Lord is going to take care of him, so he had no kind of a fear as such. So this is another point which Srila Prabhupada mentions in these purports, is that when the Lord appears, and those who have taken the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, they are totally fearless. They have no fear because they know that the Lord is going to protect them from whatever may be the dangers, the Lord is going to save them. So surrender is, in that respect, a very, very important part of bhakti. I mean, we can make progress in bhakti by surrendering to the Lord, and that is why surrender is a very, very important part of bhakti. In purport of text number 5, Srila Prabhupada says that in this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness. Sada sambudvigina vidhyam. So this was part of the text we read in the same canto, chapter number 5, and text number was 5. So that was the time when Prahlad Maharaj was instructing his classmates about the glories of the Lord. So what it says here is sada. Sada means always. Samudvigna means full of anxieties. Dhyam, whose intelligence. Asat grahat, because of accepting the temporary body or bodily relations as real. So in other words, when we are identifying with this material body or with the material surroundings of ours, then we will be always full of anxiety. And the only way, Srila Prabhupada says, to overcome that anxiety or overcome that fear is by taking the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We have several examples in our scriptures where the devotees who took the shelter of the Lord, they were given a kind of total protection. You know, we say in carte blanche, there was total protection, no question asked. So we have example of Pandavas. They were the devotees of the Lord. And though Duryodhan and team, they tried all kind of methods to harm them, they were not successful. Then we have a very good example of Draupadi. She is also, you can say, part of Pandava's team. But Draupadi in her own is a great devotee of the Lord. And in the court of Dhritarashtra, when she was, the Kauravas attempted to disrobe her, the Lord appeared. She pleaded and she remembered Lord Govinda. And the Lord appeared, as I was listening to a class, manifested as unlimited sari. You know, Dushasan, who was such a powerful person, he couldn't do anything. He was not successful at all. Why? Because she was under the protection of the Lord. So there was another story I heard when I was preparing for this class, and this was the analogy given. We have to understand how relevant it is, and that is about a fish, river, and elephant. So elephant is so huge, so heavy, so big, and so powerful when compared to a fish. But a fish can swim very easily in very strong currents. Even, you know, in a river, even if the currents are very strong, a fish has no difficulty in staying there. Fish doesn't get drowned. Fish is still enjoying. But an elephant, however powerful or big he may be, if he gets into a river where the currents are very strong, he gets, you know, flown away and he may drown. So why is it so? Just said that the fish has learned the art of taking the shelter of the river. So if we learn the art of taking the shelter of the Lord, we have nothing to fear of. Yesterday was Vijayadashmi. Nityananda Pan Prabhu spoke about Lord Ramachandra killing Ravana. So in Ramayana, of course, all our scriptures are full of teachings and lessons. But in Ramayana, there are several of them. And recently, we went in Romapad Maharaj took a yatra last year in January, beginning of January, to South India. Some of you were there, correct? So we went to a place where Vibhishan. Does everybody know who Vibhishan is or was? He is a brother of Ravana. But he was a devotee of the Lord. So when Ravan kidnapped Sita Devi, he kind of advised her and counseled him to admit his mistake and seek forgiveness of Lord Ramachandra. But Ravana was so much in his own world of ego and pride that he felt there is no need, and he's such a powerful person that nobody can do any harm to him. Same is this case with Hiranyakashipu also. The demons, they are so proud of themselves and some of the power which they have accomplished through austerities and so on, that they even ignore the supremacy of the Lord. So Vibhishan, time and again, would request Ravana to go and seek forgiveness from Lord Ramchandra. But Ravana won't listen. And eventually he got so fed up that he, you know, kind of threw Vibhishan out of his, you know, out of Lanka. So Vibhishan came where Lord Ram was camping with his other ministers. Who were the ministers? The monkey ministers, monkey king, Lord Sugriv. Sugriv was one of the ministers. Hanuman was there, and so on. So when they saw that Vibhishan and a couple of his associates, they were coming through the sky and, you know, landing near the camp of Lord Ramachandra, there was some suspicion in the mind of Sugriv. So Sugriv and Hanuman, they disguised in different, you know, dresses and went to meet them to find out the motive of their coming there. And they asked, and Vibhishan said that he has come to meet Lord Ram and take the shelter of his lotus feet. But Sugriv was still very suspicious, and he went back to Lord Ram and told him that this is the feedback he has from Vibhishan. But, you know, they have to be careful, because after all, they are from the family of demons and he is brother of Ravana. So to accept him as a disciple or as a, you know, in your, to give him protection, one has to be a little careful. So Lord Ram said something which is very, very interesting, and we have to remember that. It says, Shakrit eva prapanoyas tavasmiti cha yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etad vritam mama. So Lord Ramchandra tells Sugriv, that if one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, "My Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I will always give him protection. That is my vow." Abhayam means fearlessness, no fear. Sarvada means always. Tasmai, to him I will always give protection. So these are the words of Lord Ramachandra. And we see that the same words are spoken by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita when he's talking to Arjun, that anybody who surrenders unto me, I will protect him. So surrendering unto the Lord, at the lotus feet of the Lord, taking the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, is the only way to protect ourselves from anxiety, from fear in this material world. So in next text, Srila Prabhupada says in purport, "One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the mode of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman." And then he further says, "Those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as shudras, can approach the supreme destination." So here also, the Lord is emphasizing the same thing which Lord Ramachandra said to Vibhishan, that those who take my shelter, I will be always protecting them. And what is Lord exhibiting? You know, even though he was very, very angry when he appeared, and even after killing Hiranyakashipu, he was still very angry. But what was his anger exhibiting? What was the anger demonstrating? It is the love for his devotee. That is something which we have to differentiate, that anger can be of different types. But our Acharya says that the anger of the Lord is also not contaminated. It is a kind of pure anger. It is supreme anger, because he was so angry that the demigods were not able to pacify him. But yet, the anger was demonstrating his love for Prahlad Maharaj. It is not one of those, mundane loves stories that, okay, you know, I love you, you love me, and after 2 days, I go my way, you go my way, because I do not buy you a chocolate. So, it is not that kind of a love. So, the love of the Lord towards a devotee is really very, very supreme, and the Lord does not tolerate any kind of mischiefs when one tries to harass or torture the devotees. I'm going to ask a question here. That we, in material world, we all come across problems. We have different kind of problems. Now, what kind of solutions do we try to find out for those problems? Generally, we try to find out material solutions. Okay? So now, we know, I'm sure by now we know, that material solutions are not the real solutions to any problem. Whatever may be the nature of problem, if we are trying to solve it by material means, that is not really going to help in the longer run. If at all, it may help temporarily. So what do we need to do to find a permanent solution or a, you know, eternal solution to our problems? Yes. So, as I said, we have problems of different nature. We are in this material world, so there will be problems. But most of the time, we are looking for solutions which are also material in nature. And we also know that when solutions are obtained by material considerations, they are not lasting. They will help temporarily, but not forever. So what do we need to do to find solutions to our problems which will be everlasting? Is it clear, the question?
Not sure if you're looking for a particular answer, but my understanding, maybe take shelter of somebody you have place in, a devotee. Prayer has always helped. You know, praise the Lord sincerely. And that's pretty much all I could think of. So.
Yeah, thank you. Any other thoughts?
Get a higher taste.
Get a higher taste, yes. And what do we need to do to get a higher taste?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Chant Hare Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, we have to take the shelter of the Harinam. The names of the Lord will, if we take the shelter of the holy name of the Lord, that is enough. That is what Lord Chaitanya has instructed for Kali Yuga as being the Yuga Dharma. By praying to the Lord, by chanting his name, we can take his shelter, and we can get all the mercy which is available to Prahlad Maharaj will be also available to us. Thank you. So any other questions or discussion points? Yes, Mukunda Prabhu.
So Krishna protects his devotees. So how are we to understand when we see devotees seemingly suffering? At least from our viewpoint, it seems like they're suffering. You know, either the older devotees are suffering so many physical things, or even in the past there's been instances where devotees were killed, you know, either like violently or kind of accidentally. So all of these things doesn't seem like protection exactly. So
let us take the example of Prahlad Maharaj, because we are reading that part. You know, interestingly, I will answer your question, that Lord Narasimhadev appeared, and you know, we read about Lord Narasimhadev in Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe in few chapters. But there is so much spoken about Prahlad. Prahlad became really a celebrity just because of Lord Narasimhadev. So Lord takes care of the devotee, and a devotee also knows that. That is where the degree of surrender matters. If we are totally surrendered, like Prahlad Maharaj, then we have nothing to fear, because we have total trust in the Lord, that Lord is going to protect us come what may. So when Prahlad Maharaj was being harassed by Hiranyakashipu in so many ways, he was thrown in the, you know, dry well, he was thrown off the high mountains, he was asked to drink poison, he was thrown in fire, and so on. But he never complained as such. He never said that, you know, why you are... He never even asked once that why you are doing this to me. Because he accepted that this is what the Lord wants me to do, or wants me to undergo. And he has total faith and trust in the Lord, that Lord is going to protect him. Or whatever is going to happen to him, this is what the Lord wants. So if we develop that kind of a trust in the Lord, we will be fearless. And the seemingly inconveniences, punishments, harassments, which we see from a distance, when we experience them, provided we are in that, you know, frame of mind, they will not appear to us as problems. There's another thing which is the application, because none of us are at that platform where Prahlad Maharaj was, let's be honest about it. So what does it mean for us in our lives when we are just, maybe I can speak for myself, when we are just struggling with our bhakti? So I would look at it this way, that the things could be much worse for me, but just because I am remembering the Lord, they have been mitigated. So for example, I share a very interesting story with you, which actually happened. When we were hearing some classes in Bhagavad Gita, Nityananda Pran Prabhu used to do a phone class in the morning of Bhagavad Gita several years ago. And he was talking about this topic, that material solutions for material problems. And I used to live that time in a high-rise building. So I was thinking, you know, my car was parked in the parking lot of the building. And I thought, suppose my car has a flat tire, what will be the spiritual solution for this? You know, I have to take the tire and get it fixed. I just thought about it. It was the morning time, and then that was it. During the day, I had to go out. When I went down, my car had a flat tire. So immediately I realized that, you know, I had a problem. So what to do? Now I was just thinking how to process this situation. So I thought, you know, I could have been anywhere on the street. I could have been driving in the middle of the night. You know, sometimes you go for programs and you are coming home late. And I could have had a flat tire at 10 o'clock in the night, in, you know, a cold night, and there's nobody around. And then to change the tire on the street in darkness is not an easy job. The fact that it happened right where I'm living, and I could call somebody to help me change the tire, itself was a blessing. So instead of looking at that it was a big problem, why did it happen to me, my consciousness was that, okay, it was good that it happened here. So that is how a devotee of the Lord could try to process the situation, difficult situations in their lives. Is it? Answer? You want to add something? You can add if you want.
My question is kind of related to Mukunda's question also. You mentioned the pastime of Draupadi, where Dushasan and the Kauravas tried to strip her of her clothes. And I mean, I kind of find that pastime hilarious because maybe after 10 minutes you would think, you know, it's not coming off. But apparently they were doing it for a long time. But I remember me and one other devotee was talking about this pastime. So my question is related to faith and being fearless. You mentioned that Prahlad, since he was protected by the... He was fearless because he had faith in the Lord's protection. But in the pastime of Draupadi, at least I've heard from one devotee that basically, even though she was protected by Krishna, and, you know, her clothes, you know, were like eternal sari, but still afterwards, she was still kind of mad at Krishna, like, where were you to protect me? You know, where were you at? Well, maybe it's yoga maya potency, but as far as practically relating to ourselves are concerned, sometimes we may be protected by the Lord, but still, you know, we don't feel that protection. So can you elaborate on that? Does that mean we lack faith or that fearlessness? So can you elaborate on that point?
Okay, let me share with you something which I once read when I was visiting somebody in a hospital. So sometimes, you know, they put some posters and there are some, you know, things written there. So there was a guy who always felt that he is a good devotee. He did whatever he was supposed to do. In other words, he was following the instructions given to him by the scriptures and so on. So he writes that you know, whenever I was walking, you were always walking with me. And he's addressing this to the Lord. You were always walking with me. I could always see, you know, two pairs of footprints on the sand. So, you know, he says, but whenever I was in difficulty, I saw that there was only one set of footprints. So where were you at that time? So the Lord says, at that time I was carrying you. So though we may feel that the Lord is not there to help us, or he is busy somewhere else, but in fact, he is always taking care of his devotees. So we have to have that much trust in him. This example of Parikshit Maharaj also. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the Brahmin boy that he will die in 7 days, he was not afraid of death, because he is a devotee of the Lord. So he said, yes, okay, if I have to die, I have to die. And he used that as an opportunity to hear about Krishna. And just because he agreed to die, let us put it, Prabhupada says that if Parikshit Maharaj won, he could have saved himself, because he was such a great devotee. He could have, the effect of the curse of the Brahmin boy could have been nullified if Parikshit Maharaj wanted. But he said, I have done some offense towards the Brahmin, his father, and he has cursed me, so let me, you know, face the consequences. Let me face the reaction of my karmas. And what came out of it? Srimad Bhagavatam. So even if a great devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee of the Lord, is undergoing tribulation in his life, something really good comes out of it. And in case of what we are reading here, when we move further, the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, they are such nice prayers. When we will hear them, or when we will read them, we will realize that, you know, how humble a great devotee of the Lord could be. You know, again, I'm speaking for myself. We do little, you know, worship or some service in the temple, chant 16 rounds, and we think we are, or when I say we, I mean I think that I'm a great devotee. But, and you know, I'm puffed up and I look at others, you know, with
such air of superiority that, oh, everybody else is, you know, I'm chanting 18 rounds, they are chanting 16 rounds, like that. So, you know, that kind of a feeling comes. But as we grow in devotion, we become more and more humble. And as a matter of fact, that is one of the indication or yardstick that how humble we are. We also read, like we have been reading earlier, about the characteristics of a Uttamadhikari. The Uttamadhikari is so humble that we sometimes may even mistake him for a neophyte or a Kanishtakadhikari, because they are very, very unassuming, they are so polite and so on. So as we grow in our devotional service, if we are growing in our devotional service, our humility will also be growing. Acharya Nishtha Prabhu wants to.
Real quick, is that? Or
yeah, let him switch. Ask maybe after. Huh. It is connected with this or? Yeah, okay.
It was one comment I appreciated, but also I have a question. I think it's not related, so I'll let Achari go. So.
Okay, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned the one solution to get free from the material problems. It's not a material solution. It has to be a spiritual solution. So we heard prayer and chanting Hare Krishna. Now, on the point of Harinam, we see many devotees are taking to the chanting. Maybe they're chanting many, many hours a day, or a lot of rounds, but they may not be feeling that type of reciprocation with the Lord. They may not be able to tangibly perceive the Lord's presence, His protection, His shelter. Mm-hmm. So what is it, can you expand on that point of Harinam? Because just the chanting itself, we all have experienced how powerful that is accordingly to each one of us, but it may not be at our stage what we hear about.
Yes. So, it's an interesting question. If in third canto, when Kapil Dev is instructing Devahuti, he says that even Vaishnavas can be in different mode. So material, you know, Vaishnavas are also influenced by material nature, different modes of material nature. So even though somebody may be Vaishnav, or he may still be in mode of passion, for example. So Vaishnavas also can be in, as I said, can be influenced by different modes of nature. So having said that, we are in the, let us say, at the beginning of our devotional service, or maybe just have made some progress. So as we progress, as we make progress, we will see the reciprocation. I mean, it is a very, very, you know, in algebra, there is a term which we use quite often in mathematics, that directly proportional. You know, if... that means you do something and the result is directly proportional to it. That means you do more, the result will be more. You do less, the result will be less. So that is called directly proportional. So here in our case, when we are taking the shelter of the holy name, then the reciprocation is exactly to the degree of our surrender. Now, how many of us will be able to say that, okay, you know, I'm totally dependent on the Lord. We talk about it, we hear about it, and we preach about it. But in reality, let us ask ourselves that, do I fully surrender? Have I fully surrendered? Let us try to read, you know, the instructions of Bhakti Vinod Thakur when he talks about surrender. And then try to, you know, measure our performance, that are we anywhere near that or not. So as we grow in our devotional service, as we move up in bhakti, our surrender, the degree of our surrender will also increase, and we will be able to feel the reciprocation also. You know, I sometimes feel that when we are reading or hearing such topics, why we don't really, you know, it doesn't happen in our life. These are very nice to be there in the books and, you know, to preach, but what exactly it mean in our life? So that is also an indication that we are not, at least at that level, to understand it. Like we say that the Lord will reveal himself when he knows that we are ready for it. I mean, all of us are trying for that. All of us are trying to, you know, move up in bhakti and develop prema, develop love for the Lord. But sometimes nothing happens. I mean, we are chanting and chanting and chanting for years, and nothing happens. So yesterday, when Nityananda Pranaprabhu was giving the class, he was talking about how much heart we put in it. In our services, are we doing our services just as our, you know, responsibility, our duty, or are we doing the services and we are putting our heart in it? Are we doing those services to please the Lord, or I'm just doing them because so XYZ has asked me to do those services? So it is a bigger topic, but I understand. But my feeling is that once we, as we grow in our devotional life, we will be able to see the results. And if it is not happening, that means we may not be really making much progress. Yes, Prabhu.
So I have one question, but one comment. Me and one devotee was appreciating, me and Chaitanya Priya Prabhu, regarding the Draupadi pastime. One lesson we got from that pastime is that even though Draupadi was upset at Krishna, that, you know, Krishna, where were you to protect me? Krishna never admitted that, you know, I was there, you know, using my mystic powers to, you know. And so the lesson we kind of got from there is that, like, in the material world, when there's some anonymous donor, you know, they can only remain anonymous for so long before they say, yes, I did it. Mm-hmm. So that's the one lesson we took from that pastime. But my question, one of my other question was, is that only Prahlad could pacify the Lord in these prayers, and the demigods couldn't. And so on a practical level, sometimes when we pray to the Lord, it's said that if we take one step towards the Lord, he'll take, you know, thousands of steps towards us.
Yes.
But sometimes it seems like he doesn't, you know, on a practical level. Like, why are you giving Prahlad fearlessness and not me? I'm your devotee too. And so you may have answered, but my question is kind of related to the patience points, because I was thinking in this regard of the pastime Mukunda Datta, who Lord Chaitanya rejected because he was, you know, nice with the Vaishnavas and also nice with the Mayavadis. I think that was the pastime. And then Lord Chaitanya rejected him for such duplicity and said, you won't see me in like a billion years. And Mukunda Datta, you know, jumped up and down. He was enthusiastic and happy, you know, because the end point is I'll see you. It doesn't matter when I'll see you, but as long as I'll see you. And his enthusiasm never wavered, and he was patient. So how can we, it's very hard to be patient. That's one of the things that why we lead devotional service, is that, you know, we pray to the Lord, but we can't oblige him, you know, by our prayers. So how do we be patient, you know? Can you elaborate?
So patience is a important aspect for bhakti. Prabhupada says in several of his classes. But there's another, you know, interesting thing is that everybody, when you say that Mukunda, when he was told that you will see me in billion years, he was so, you know, in ecstasy. The reason is that a devotee sees everything as Lord's mercy. He doesn't see anything, you know, he sees each and everything in relation to the Lord. So whatever is happening in my life today is all what Lord wants. And if I work or accept it with that consciousness, then it will not trouble me. The thing is that anything which happens different than my own plans, then I start the blame game. Okay, I will blame my friends, I will blame my boss, I will blame my wife, I will blame Krishna. But because it is not happening according to what my plans are. And, you know, I was talking to somebody and they said that, you know, when we make plans, Krishna smiles. Because he may have totally different plans for us. So whatever is happening to me, if I accept that as Krishna's plans, then Krishna will make sure that I get what I deserve. I wanted to tell you, you were talking about Draupadi's pastime. So I heard about it. I haven't read it myself, so I don't know. But I heard somebody mentioning this, that, you know, this getting the eternal sari, it was a result of some deed or some act which Draupadi did many years ago. So the pastime is that Lord Krishna was visiting Pandavas and they were having fruits, they were eating fruits. So Lord had a knife in his hand and he was trying to cut a fruit, and by mistake he cut his finger a little bit and the blood was coming out of it. So Draupadi was watching, and immediately she ripped part of her dress, her dupatta, and tied it on the wound and didn't let the blood come down at all. So she just gave a small piece of cloth from her dress which was tied on the Lord's finger. And in return, she got so much of mercy. So that is the kind of, you know, you can say, the reciprocation one can expect if we have total faith in the Lord. Okay. Any other questions? Karunanidhi Prabhu, you want to add something?
Sometimes some devotees, they are in different degree of passion, say mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and mode of, you know. So how is that, although he is a devotee, still afflicted by, you know, mode of passion, suppose, for example. So how it will affect others? Like in Bhagavad Gita, there is a nice verse, Jajjat Acharyati Sreshtan, Tat-tat yuvatara jana, that those for her, means who in their others follow, who are the higher authorities, they do. So similarly, suppose they are in mode of passion, how it will affect other lower
devotees? So what I would say is that the service which we are doing, is it for our pleasure? Is it for the authority's pleasure, or is it for the pleasure of Krishna? So that is the deciding factor. So anything which we are doing for Krishna's pleasure is going to help us. Anything which is not being done for Krishna's pleasure is in somewhere. It is not at that level. It is somewhere down. It could be a mixture of mode of goodness or passion. It can be purely in mode of passion, etc. So the consciousness which we have to develop is that whatever I am doing should be to please Krishna. And there I need help from other senior Vaishnavas, because on my own I cannot do that. I may not even know what Krishna wants. So that is where we have to listen, hear, and read. Hear from senior devotees, hear from our acharyas, and read the scriptures, and take guidance. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that there are people who are or I think it was yesterday's class when Tan Pran Prabhu was speaking, that there are people who are doing different kind of services for years and years and years without any result. So what is the reason for that? There has to be a reason. And the reason is that we are sometimes doing it just to show off. Sometimes we are just doing it for our own pleasure, but not necessarily for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Little comment on Jaipalde's question. That, you know, we feel like we're taking many steps to the Lord, but we may not be feeling reciprocation, so how to remain patient. But the real thing is that the Krishna's reciprocating with our desire, our intensity. So it's not so much that we have to just wait patiently. Someday Krishna's going to decide, okay, I want to give this jiva all the mercy. It's really up to us. It's on our end. You know, we don't have to wait around so long. It's not that it's a waiting game. It's more just Krishna's waiting for us to really develop the intense desire to do whatever is necessary to get the mercy. He's got all the mercy. He wants to give it all. But it's not that we just have to wait for him to patiently bestow it. He's waiting on us. He's asking the same question. He says, why do I have to be so patient with my devotee?
Yeah. See, the other way of saying is like, you know, when Prabhupada gives the example of, he gives the example of a young woman getting married and wants to have a baby, but she has to wait for some time. She cannot have a baby immediately. So there is a, you know, the result has to, you know, the result will be available when our prayers, our efforts, or the result of our services will mature. So it's true. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.